Thank you. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7, please. Thank you. What an honor it is to be here. Matthew chapter 7. Thank you. Once again, it's great to be out here in chapel. How many of you have finished all of your midterms thus far for this semester? You're all done. Today is chapel, is you're done. Raise your hand. All right. How many of you have one more? Two more? Is that after chapel or is that Monday? After chapel. So we'll go along today. Amen? No? All right. There's nothing better than being done with midterms, and except when you're done with finals. Amen? And that's a great part of life. You guys from Oregon, let me see. All the fellas that you're visiting from Oregon, stand up if you would, please. All right. Good. All right. How many of you girls, now girls, listen to me. Listen carefully. How many of you, stand back up. How many of you girls, if these guys came to Hiles Anderson next year, the year after, how many of you girls would consider dating one of them? Raise your hand. Every girl's hand should go up. Come on. Wow. You got no takers. Well, that worked well. All right. Come on. One more time. Any girl would date any of these guys? None? All right. Be seated. Be seated, guys. You might as well go to West Coast. And All right, ladies, stand. Girls, ladies from Oregon, stand. Are they all standing? All right. Now, how many of you guys would be willing to date one of these girls? Raise your hand. All right. All right, girls, you can be seated. All right. You look this way, so I guess we figured out something. The girls need to come to Hiles Anderson. The guys need to either go to Golden State or West Coast. So, we'll look forward to having all of them in school. Don't worry, guys. We'll find somebody for you. We have a few blind kids that come in every once in a while that'll help. No, I'm sorry. Not a way to treat guests. Take your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to jump right into it today. Matthew chapter 7, of course, chapter 7 is finishing up the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is preaching or speaking. And it comes down to a couple statements that he makes. That a few weeks ago, I was listening to a sermon on my iPhone, and these verses were read, and I don't even remember the sermon because it just arrested my attention here. And I want to read them with me, if you would. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. We're going to read verse 13 and 14, and I want you to read along with me, if you would. Ready? Let's start. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Father, we ask your blessings upon the message this afternoon. And Lord, we ask for your mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here Jesus gives the multitude, the people that were listening there, a choice. You and I, we have free will. You can be saved or you don't have to be saved. God's not making anybody get saved. The consequences are dire, but it's, you have a free will. You have a free will to do whatever you want in this world. Sky's the limit. You can live for God or you can live for the devil. You can go after the things of this earth or you can go after things that are spiritually minded. Or you can go halfway if you want and do a little of both. But the will is yours. And one thing God left us with is a free will. Now, to corral that free will is often difficult. And that's why rules are given. That's why we have a rule book. That's why we have assignments that are given. Because we know that your free will take you a lot of places you don't want to be and keep you from places where you ought to be. So the Word of God, Jesus here, gives a very, very pointed scripture, as we call it, but these verses were points in his sermon that were very pointed. He said, enter ye in the straight gate. All right? And that straight gate is, it's not talking about a physically aligned straightness as you would look, but it's more of a, it's in the Greek, it means basically hard gate, a difficult gate. And Jesus points every Christian to the hard way. Now, getting saved is easy, but the lifestyle of the Christian life is difficult. And anybody tells you any different, they're not living the Christian life, because I found that I've tried to make it as easy as possible. This week, I've had more blessings than I can count. But I've also had some deep waters that have just grieved me without end. Some of my dear friends in the ministry are going through a very dark time, and it's been very grievous to us. So not every day is a great day in our terms. And then he says in verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Now here you have this narrow road. It's not popular. Matter of fact, it's a difficult road. Now everybody in life has their own path, but we're all on the same road if you're living for the Lord. If you're going after the things of God, the road is narrow. You're going to find that the Bible says, and he even qualifies it, few there be that find it. In other words, not that it's hard to find, but few there be that find themselves on this road. Guys, look at me. There's far more college kids outside of this room than are inside of this room. There are far more Christian college kids outside of this room than are in this room. There are far more kids in Chicago than are at City Baptist today. There are far more kids in Lake County area outside of Hammond Baptist High School than are in Hammond Baptist High School. So most folks, and if we want to qualify Christians in that, in all of those, the answer would still be the same. There are many Christians that don't want, they want the wide road, because they look just like everybody else, because that's where everybody's going. It's just a significance of peer pressure. Well, more people are going that way than this way, so that must be the best way. You ever go to a Costco or a big department store and you see the lines are really long, and try to pick the shortest line? It never works out right. And I've given up, and whenever I hate going to stores, but whenever I am, I'm with my wife, I say, you pick. I'm always frustrated at mine. And I'm always looking down to see which line the person, you know, that third person there has been there, and now they're already in, and I'm still in line. You know, you go through those hardships of life, right? But we're always looking at those that are going another direction. Well, you know what? I'm not going to Bible college because everybody in my class is going to this college. Or I'm not going into Christian work because everybody else that I hang around with is going this direction. And we are just bombarded with those kind of decisions. And Jesus Christ knew that. And that's why he just was very honest and very open. And he said, few there be that find it. This road is it's a difficult road. It's uphill most of the way. And there we will find that the graduates that we have, even from this college, probably find themselves in life outside the narrow road and on the wide road, trying to figure out how to make their life as good as it was supposed to be. And anytime you try to make things better than God could have made them, you will always be frustrated. It never comes out well. You know, God expects us to run our own race, but it's always, you know, but when you give your heart and your life to God, you still have your own race. And God expects you to run it on a narrow road. And it's hard to run a race on a narrow road. And you wonder, you look and say, well, this road is tough. This road is difficult. And everybody else, you know, they got scholarships to college. Or they got this job in life. And they're making this kind of money. And everything else looks easy, as it always will throughout all of life. At some point in time in our lives, we need to decide which road we're going to stay on. You can go to hell. You can't go to hell after trusting Christ, but you can live a Christian life like you are. That's your choice. You can walk through that gate and the straight gate and be saved and on your way to heaven and then live a hellish life. God gives you that will to do so. I'm not old yet. I'm getting close. I'm closer to old than I am young, all right? And 61 years of age, but I do remember. I know. Stop it. And Brother Francis, are you older than me? No? All right. How many of you think Brother Francis looks older than me? Raise your hand. There you go. All right. I knew I had some friends in the room. But I do remember sitting in Hammond Baptist High School in chapel there, and Saturday nights I have a men's prayer meeting there, and I often think about chapel messages that I heard as a teenager in those rooms and in the auditoriums at the church in Hammond. As a teenager, I remember hearing God speak to my heart, and I remember walking the aisles, and I remember surrendering to preach, and I remember all those great events of my early years. And the road that I decided to get on, if I may, and this is not a bragging kind of sermon or statement, but I'm glad I stayed on that road, and not that I can see the end from here, but it's been a good road. Amen. And I want us to look at that path, that narrow road, and the first thing I want you to look at is the privilege of the path. You know, it's an honor to serve Jesus Christ. And though I got to admit, at times there are other things and other ways and opportunities that have come my way that looked great and looked envious, I got envious of, and I thought maybe that was a better path, but you know what? I'm glad I stayed on the narrow road because it's a privilege for me to be upon on it. You know, the Bible, Jesus even said, few there be that find it. Not everybody is going to get this opportunity even. Even of the saved Christians, not all of them get an opportunity to even go to Bible college. There are a lot of folks, and we find them every day of our life, and those of us that travel sometimes and preach, of kids that have never heard of Hiles Anderson College. And you know what? You get to come here. It's a joy to live for Jesus Christ. We get a Christian education. We get to have Christian teachers teach us. And we get to have Christian high school coaches and high school Sunday school teachers and junior high Christian school teachers that love us and pray for us before every class. We don't have to listen to the foul language, and we don't have to go into some of the classes that the public school kids have to go into. We have parents that love us and make sure that we are guided in the right direction. Man, we are lucky. We are fortunate. We get to receive the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, goodness, meekness, temperance. Hey, these things are on the narrow road. All of those things, everybody on the wide road hopes they find. We don't find them. They're given to us. They're promised to us. I've never looked at going to Christian school as a hardship. I've never looked at going to church as pain and suffering. I've always looked at it as a privilege because it's a road, it's a narrow road that God put me on. When we were building many years ago, Hammond Baptist had started over in a building in Ross Township near Gary, Indiana. And we were there 2 years, and then we built a Baptist City there, which was the first Hiles Anderson College and the first permanent Hammond Baptist School. And one of the carpenters that worked for a construction company, and he worked on Baptist City, he is my neighbor, and we grew up about 2 miles south of here, and his boy and I were friends, and we were playing some ball, and his dad had come home from work, and we were talking to his dad. His dad's name was Mike, and even all the kids called him Mike, but just a nice guy, and his son Rick was saying, hey, you know, my dad's working on your school, at Hammond School. And I said, oh, he is. And his dad said, yeah, I've been working. He told me what rooms. And they said, you know what? You guys have been going to that school for 2 years. We were in the Lake Central school system. And he started making fun of Hammond Baptist and how foolish it was for my parents to be paying hundreds of dollars for my sister Jeanette, my sister Debbie, and myself, who were in junior high and high school at the time. My oldest brother, Clint, was at Bob Jones. We had 4 kids in Christian school and college at the time. And my neighbors were just giving me grief about all the money, my parents' foolish money they were paying for us to go to this private school when we could have gone to Lake Central. And Mike, this boy's dad, had been working in our school. He'd been around a lot of our people. And he threw down some tools and he looked at his son and he got his finger in his face and he said, it's a privilege for that kid to go to that school. This is an unsaved, well, Mike did get saved. He did come to church, got saved. But you know what? Before that, he was a secular guy by all stretch. And he looked at his own son and told me that it was a privilege for me to go there. And I never forgot that. I remember walking into that school the very first day and the words of Mike kept ringing in my ear. And they have ever since that time. And listen to me, folks, it's a privilege to be on the narrow road. It's a privilege. And Satan will do everything within his power every single day the rest of your life to show you and tell you how much better the other road is. But it's not true. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit, those things that we can have that God will give us. Satan will make a privilege look like a pain to us. He'll make it look difficult. He'll make it look hard. He'll make it look like we're so different, we're weird, and we're outcast. When, you know what? You know, if you're on the narrow road, you are not alone. There may not be all that's out there on it, but there's a lot in here that are. And they don't understand the joy of singing God's hymns. They don't enjoy the camaraderie of Christian brothers and sisters and that are going through some tough times and good times. They don't understand all of that. They wish they did. We go to the Holy Spirit for consolation. We go to the Holy Spirit for excitement. They go to a bar. They drink their spirits, hoping to find what we already have. It's a privilege to be on the narrow road. Let's look at the privilege of the path. Let's focus on the promise of the destination. Where are we going? Going to heaven. That's promised to us. Amen. And look back at Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Now, first of all, he wasn't asking, was he? He was telling you, making a statement. He says, this is. He didn't say, you know what, you might consider the straight gate. He didn't say that. He didn't say, you know what, you know, both are okay, but you know what, I would lean to the straight gate. I would lean to the narrow road. You know, you might be okay. You might make it. You might have a fantastic life. Now, these were declarative statements. He said, hey, you. Hey, 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 everybody, listen carefully. Enter the straight gate. Enter the straight gate. And before he even qualifies the straight gate, he qualifies the other road, how dastardly it is. He said, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to what? To what? Destruction. So he wasn't saying it may lead to destruction. It might. You might step in a pothole. You might have a fender bender. You might get lost. No, he said destruction. Destruction. And many there be which go in. He said, I know, but most of you aren't going to listen to me. I get it. But I told you. I told you. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth to what? To life. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life. You know, there's nothing that Satan ever touches that lives. There's nothing that Satan ever deals with that lives. You know, I was teaching the story on the Maniac of Gadara Sunday morning, and I came to the realization, you know, the demons that were inside this maniac. The demons came to Jesus. And they begged him not to send them back to hell. You know what? The demons didn't even want to go back to where they were from. They didn't even like their home. They don't like Satan. Because they know that everything that Satan touches dies. And they know what their end is one day. Eternity, death in hell. And Jesus is the gracious Son of God is looking at Christians and saying, hey, I'm going to promise you not just the best life, I'm going to promise you a great life. Amen. And if you said the best life, that means there are other lives that are comparable. But there is no life comparable to the life lived for Christ. The life on the narrow road was far better than anything else anybody could teach you or give you, which leadeth unto life. And the devil can't help but breed death. He can't help but make the things that are good bad. And it's a simple command, but it's very clear and directive, definite with a certain outcome. Many of you will consider that road upon leaving school this semester or next semester. And you get an eternity of peace and joy. That road leads to life. Everything. Hey, listen to me, Brother John talked about today being Friday, because tomorrow you get to go soul winning. And Sunday you get to bring kids to church. Everything that you do for God lives forever. Everything that you do that is of the narrow road qualities, you know what? Live forever. Everything that you give to God in service and time and effort and finance is all going to live forever. And you can try to make your life substantial on this in this earth and live on the wide road or broad street, however you want to call it. I guarantee you, everything there will die with you and go with you to the grave. But all those that live, God promises a destination that has life. You will live with Christ, and all that you have done in life that has been for God's glory and God's service and to honor the Son of God will live forever. Will live forever. So look at the privilege of the path and the promise of the destination. And last, look at the purpose of the trip. The purpose of the trip. Ephesians 5:10 says we're supposed to approve. We're proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Everything in our life is to prove that God is good. Everything that we do is to prove that God is a great God. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You listen to me carefully. You want to have a heart for God. You want to have a heart for God's purpose. You start walking on that narrow road. You start living the Christian life with that purpose in mind, that purpose of the trip. Why are you here? Why are you going through Bible college? Why are you standing out in the crowd as a Christian? Why are you dressing different? Why are you telling people about Jesus Christ on Saturdays and Sundays? Why are you riding a night bus back home? Why are you trying to pay a kid's way through City Baptist? Why are you doing all these things? Because you're bringing honor and glory to the Son of God. That's what's done on the narrow road. And that's a trip that we try to take, and many of us will try to leave college, and we'll try to serve God, and we'll also try to live one step on the narrow road and one step on the narrow, on the wide road. It's not going to work that way. God has enough for you to do in life that you don't need to be packing your backpack with things that don't belong. There'll be a lot of things in life that'll come your way. There'll be sin, and there'll be goals, personal goals that'll be set for you that'll lead you a direction that you don't want to go. There'll be money opportunities that'll lead you off that path. There'll be a relationships that'll lead you off that path. Satan is wise. He does not want you on the narrow road. He's king of the road when it comes to the wide road. But he's a beggar and a pauper on the narrow road. He wants to get every one of us on there. Every one of us. My son was in Kuwait for a year, and he just told me a story the other day. He said we went on a 18 miles, because it's called a ruck march, and they do it for points and scoring and rank and things. And he said you get just your uniform and your water and a backpack, and it has to have 25 pounds, at least 25 pounds in it. So we were putting things in, measuring it exactly, you know, if it was 25 and a half pounds, we took a toothbrush out, whatever, you know, just to make sure that it didn't go over. And he said, but I had a guy that just was starting throwing candy and all kinds of stuff and extra drinks and so forth. And his pack was 40 pounds. And my son said, hey, bud, he says, that ain't going to work for you. He said, you don't need to be carrying an extra 15 pounds in this. And the guy was in incredible physical condition. And at mile marker 12, he fell out. And everybody else finished. Because he'd packed things in his rucksack that didn't need to be packed. And Satan may not get you off the road, but he may discourage you at times by putting sin and things and extra things in your life that don't belong there. Hardships that God didn't plan for you to go through. Difficulties that God never chose for you. But yet you'll pack them in anyhow. Which makes the road difficult, and Satan's he's offering them to you. Hey, you're going to need this. Hey, boy, you might, tell you what, you need to get out of the ministry for a little while and make a little money. You need that. That'll help you get along, get down the road a little further. And generally it pulls them off the road. The narrow road is uphill. It's uphill. Make no mistake. But Matthew Henry said, though it may be uphill, it won't matter after 1 minute. And I'll clarify his statement. It won't matter after 1 minute, 1 second in heaven. Once you see Jesus Christ, you'll say, wow, none of that mattered. The late nights, the narrow road, the hardship, the ridicule, the lack of finances, all those things, none of that mattered. None of it mattered. I'll quit with this. I was helping a family the other day. You tend to help a lot of people when you own a pickup truck. And I was helping them clean out their basement. And one of the men there in the house, he's 40-something, graduate of Hammond Baptist, and I saw him going through a tote. And I said, what are you doing? He said, these are my medals from high school. And I looked in there, it was just full of trophies and medals, and his diploma was in there. And he put the lid on it, and he set it in the pile in the garage where everything was getting thrown out. And I said, you're not going to keep that? And he said, man, he goes, I'm never going to use any of that stuff. It really doesn't mean much to me now. And I got to be honest with you. I love Hammond Baptist. I still wear my class ring. I still count it, as I said a few minutes ago, it's a privilege to have gone there. And it kind of got under my skin a little bit. But as he was gone and I was gathering everything to throw it out and put it in my truck and stuff, I grabbed that tote and I went to throw it out, and I thought, you know, that's a pretty good tote though. And I don't need all the medals, but I want the tote. And these are about $7 a piece, so I'm a cheapskate. And so I went over the garbage can, I took the lid off, and I dumped out all of those trophies and medals and a high school diploma. Close the lid on the garbage can, put that in my truck. And as I was walking to leave, man, just Brother Francis, God just kicked me in the head. He said, Eddie, you know, when you get to heaven, am I going to do that to your life? You're going to get there. You're the tote. Don't call me a tote, by the way. All right? You're going to get in. But everything that you live for in life is wood, hay, and stubble. It means nothing to me. It means you made a lot of money. It means nothing to me. You built a big business. It means nothing to me. You dropped out of college so that you could make money so you could help missionaries. That means nothing to me. You were called to preach. You should have been filling this with souls. You should have been helping those that need help. You should have been on the mission field. You should have been singing in choirs. You should have been helping those that are going through difficult days. But now, you get to stay, but none of your stuff does. Because none of that brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ. None of it. And I find that sin pretends to bring a great profit, but it doesn't. It leaves you empty. empty. And that's where some of you will be one day. I hope not. But Satan's pretty good. And the wide road is wide for a reason. And I've been in the Christian life long enough to see a lot of Christians take it. There are a lot of reasons, a lot of opportunities, and a lot of you will take that. But stay on the narrow road. Stay on the narrow road. Its purpose is eternal. Let me ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I don't know if God's called you to preach, but you know what? If he has, and you've not answered, if I may, I think you're about as foolish as can be. Because there ain't no part of your life going to be any better than what could be for on God's road. There ought to be an immediate surrender to God's will. You can't make points by sitting on the bench. You can't shoot free throws. You can't make a layup. You can't help your team win by sitting on the bench. Some of you will be content with doing that. There will be so many in heaven that will be giving glory and honor to the Son of God when you could have. Staying on that narrow road. You know, I told some teenagers the other day, I got a granddaughter that's now in Hammond Baptist. Singing youth conference many years ago and sitting at the Bill Rice Ranch when I gave my heart and life to the Lord as an eighth grader, I never considered grandchildren. Who does in eighth grade? But now they're pretty important. We've got a whole youth group here because Dr. Cowling decided to ride the narrow road. You've got that opportunity, young people. And you will have the opportunity to jump ship, change lanes, and get a total different destination in life. Keep on the path that has the best future. Destination is just right, just for you. Brother Francis.